Once Rafe and the assistant secretary had moved into the relative privacy of the alcove outside the private dining room, Melendi abandoned the studied courtesy he had adopted before.
Sir, we have received word that a large force, the conspirators or pirates or whatever they are, have attacked Moray System. This information is relayed from the Space Defense Force.
Kai's force. A battle. Rafe suddenly felt cold.
You may not be aware that Moray has military shipyards, very high quality, and apparently the pirates had ordered ships to be built under pretense of being a legitimate government, and then arrived to steal them.
That's... how far away is that?
Rafe used his implant to query the ISC database. Sure enough, Moray's system ansibles had gone down some hours before.
The system's 2 10-days FTL travel, plus...
plus the usual in-system time, yes. What else did Commander Vada say?
It was not Commander Vada herself. In her name, from the Space Defense Force. Commander Vada's ship was destroyed.
What?
They said to notify you that although they interdicted some of the thefts, the pirates got away with 6 fully armed warships. They also have information received indicating that the same group has many more warships than previously known, and they believe an attack on either Nexus or Cascadia will follow. I know you told the Secretary that ISC could not provide useful defense, but we've always depended upon...
But what about Commander Vada?
Rafe could feel his body tightening around that question, his heart racing.
Well, you know we have always had our doubts about the Vada connection. In light of Vada's theft of ISC technology and the rumor that Vada was involved in your parents' abduction...
It wasn't our technology, and they were not involved in the abduction. How many times...
People in the larger room were looking around.
What about Commander Vada?
I believe she was lost with her ship. They said the ship exploded.
Everything stopped for an eternity Rafe could not measure. Sound, movement, all stopped. Nothing existed but Melendi's face, a pale blur, and the darkness around him.
Kai, dead?
His heart beat again, a single beat, like a drum.
No.
The thing is, if they attack here, I must know how many ships...
Go. Away.
Rafe did not know if he said it aloud. He wanted only to hear no more from Melendi. No more horrible, life-destroying news. No more impossible demands. Nothing.
But, Sir Dunbarger, it's important. The Secretary demands an answer to...
I have no answer. Look, I did not know about the battle. I did not know about Commander Vada's death. It was my sister's birthday. I had arranged a special dinner.
Rafe looked at Melendi.
But it...
I will have an answer for you shortly. Are you still in Ansible contact with Moray?
Only by relay through the Space Defense Force. Moray's Ansible hasn't been repaired yet. They're working on it.
Good.
Rafe was hovering over the brink of an endless drop. No, he was engulfed in horror. No, he was Rafe Dunbarger, acting CEO of Interstellar Communications. If Kai was dead, if the report was true, she would expect him to do what he needed to do, whatever that was. He had always known she was likely to be killed. He had told himself that over and over.
Why then the shock? Didn't I really believe? I'll talk to Moray myself. I will need the code for the relay through SDF.
Melendi handed him a data strip. Rafe did not look at it, but tucked it into his jacket pocket. Maybe the report was wrong. Maybe it was another ship. Maybe she had somehow survived. Maybe she would not be there to stop him from killing whoever had done this in the most vicious way he could think of.
But ships are...
I have that information for you later, tomorrow morning.
We can't wait until...
You must. At worst, no one can reach us from there for 20 days at least. You said that yourself. I'll be gathering data. It'll take me that long to make sure it is accurate. You want it accurate, I take it.
Well, of course.
Then tell the secretary I will have the data for him by 0930. And now, if you'll excuse me, I must get started.
But
goodbye.
One of his security, Errol, stepped forward. Melendi backed away. Rafe turned his back on the man, reminded himself to breathe.
They have an Ansible booth downstairs. Stay with Penny, Errol. MADOC can come with me. I'm going downstairs to make an Ansible call.
Right, sir.
Tell Emil to check the status board. We have another system Ansible down. He's to arrange a repair.
The Winterplane Ansible booth was large enough for 2, but Rafe left MADOC outside. In moments, his priority code gave him access to the closest satellite, with punch through to the Ansible platform itself. He downloaded the original message to the Defense Department, even as he placed the call. Status lights changed. The screen blinked twice, then gave him a steady image of a uniformed woman he did not know.
This is Rafe Dunbarger of ISC. I need to speak to Admiral Vada.
Maybe it would work. Maybe his need to talk to her would conjure her out of the ether. The woman's face changed to a careful expression.
You haven't heard? Her ship was lost.
Lost could have many meanings. Rafe told himself that to keep his voice steady.
And Commander Vada?
Was. She's gone, Sarah Dunbarger.
Ships could be lost, misplaced, and yet whole and sound, along with those inside them. People could be gone, not here, and yet alive.
Who's in charge?
Of Space Defense Force. Acting Commander is Commander Senior Murphy of Moray.
Then I need to speak with Commander Senior Murphy. I was contacted in response to a call from Space Defense Force to the Nexus Ministry of Defense.
Yes, sir.
Commander Senior Murphy looked nothing like a senior military commander to Rafe. His tall frame had generous bulges, jowls and chins and wrinkles, where his stomach had grown over the years. But his eyes were shrewd. He nodded at Rafe.
I know who you are. Admiral Vada briefed us before her ship blew. She believed Nexus was likely the next target for this fellow Turek. Nexus or Cascadia, and she was leaning toward Nexus.
How did it happen?
We aren't entirely sure. Turek's force laid a minefield as it fled, but we don't think that was it, or wasn't all of it. The ship was firing its beam.
Rafe remembered what Stella had told him about Kai's ship. It needed a major refit. Kai had not taken the time, or changed ships.
And we think perhaps the beam set off a number of mines at one time. Too many for the shields. But our investigative teams haven't completed their analysis.
Stella had said something about a CCC, some kind of module that was supposed to give the ship something. He couldn't remember what.
Can you give me any information on the state of the Space Defense Force? Is it still operational? Will it be pursuing the enemy, or...
I cannot give you any operational information, you understand. I can say the Force remains a useful organization. If the government of Nexus requests our assistance, we...
I'm sure it will. I've been asked to assess the readiness of ISC's forces and respond to the Secretary by morning. It's late night here. Admiral Vada tell you anything about the ISC forces?
That they weren't worth the trouble to blow away? Yes, she did. I'm surprised you people have the reputation you've had.
Yes, well, it came as a surprise to me, too, when I took over this job. Apparently it was part of the same sabotage that resulted in my family's abduction.
Do you have anything that's combat ready?
Yes. Less than I could wish. I can't tell you anything operational, either. I'm in a public Ansible booth at a restaurant, and though I've engaged encryption, it's not as good as our own. But as soon as I found out our fleet had serious deficiencies, I set about remedying them, putting all our resources into our best units.
Contact me again from a more secure location, will you? It's mid-morning here, but feel free to contact me anytime.
Thank you. It's nighttime here. Not late. We were at dinner. I'll be briefing our Secretary of Defense in about 12 of our hours. So I should be getting back to you within 4.
Rafe closed the connection and leaned his head on the console a moment. He had promised himself that when the crisis was over, when Turek had been defeated, and ISC was on firm ground and his father recovered, he would go and find Kai Vada, explain why he'd acted the way he had on Cascadia, see if she could forgive him. Now it was too late. That could never happen. His future lay before him, one bleak stretch of unpleasant duty to the end of his days. He sat up, shook his head sharply, and composed himself as well as he could. He had acted so many parts in his life. He could do it now. When he went back upstairs, Penny and Emil were finishing dessert, still chatting about music and musicians.
I'm sorry it took so long. ISC fleet problems, Emil. I'm afraid I must ask you to meet me at the office. I'll take Penny home first.
Of course.
Once more in the car, Rafe turned his face away from Penny's. He wasn't sure he could control it.
It was a lovely dinner, Rafe. I'm glad you organized it.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Outside the car, the world was dark and wet and cold. But inside... inside was too small, stuffy. Rafe wanted to throw open the window, jump out, take his chances out there. With risks he understood, on his own again.
So did you and Emil have a nice chat while I was gone?
Do you want me to marry him?
Rafe turned to stare at Penny, her profile outlined against the faint glow of late-night street lighting.
Marry him? Whatever made you think I did?
Only that you've had him hovering over me since the first day you brought me into the company. Only that you keep telling me how responsible he is, how reliable, how honest, how unlike Parmina.
I only wanted you to feel safe, Penny.
Safe with someone other than him. And she had sensed that. Sensed that withdrawal he had hoped never to reveal to her.
I'm not upset. Don't worry. I just want you to understand that although Emil is a nice fellow, I'm not nearly ready to think about marrying anyone.
That's good, since I told him not to make any moves in that direction.
I wondered. There he was, always ready to be an escort, to take over for you, but I was beginning to wonder if he thought I was ugly or something. You scared him.
Rafe had meant to scare Emil. In the mood he'd been in back then, he'd been willing to scare anyone.
Rafe, we need to talk.
Rafe's heart sank. He wondered what little sisterly problem or plan needed his attention now. With an invasion on the way, with Kai lost, with his enemies on the board and in the government constantly looking for reasons and ways to bring him down, he forced a smile to his lips.
What's the problem? What do you need?
You. You are the problem.
Me? What have I done?
Rafe, you're on the edge. I don't know if others can tell yet, but I can. You're working so hard to be so good, so professional, business, steady, upright. And you're a good actor, I'll say that for you. You can't be this good all the time without going crazy.
It took his breath away that Penelope, of all people, had caught on to that.
I'm doing the best I can.
I know. And you're doing wonderfully. But for how many years? You did what you pleased, good or bad. I don't mean you were bad the way Parmina said. I don't believe that for a moment. But you were free. You could go anywhere. You could be anybody. And ever since you've come back, you've been tied down here to family and business.
Just what Rafe was thinking. Just what he must not think. Not now in this crisis. Not now when the escape hatch he'd promised himself was gone forever.
You're very good at it. But you can't keep it up forever.
When Father's better.
He'll never be better. You know that. We read the reports and you explained them. And even if he were, the board won't trust him, not now.
They don't entirely trust me.
Even Václav Box, who did trust him, or seemed to, was chafing at the changes Rafe had made.
You know what they told me about the alliance with the Moscow Confederation, on account of the Vadas.
No. But you're strong enough to handle them. He won't be. He never had to fight a contrary board the way you have. Only, I can't see you doing it forever. Or really, for much longer.
Rafe felt squeezed. He could scarcely breathe.
I have to. There's no one else.
If you had her...
The pressure increased. The sense of time passing, time lost, things that would never be.
Who?
Penny punched him lightly in the arm.
Don't be stupid. You know perfectly well who. Kai Vada. She sounds like another adventurer, like you.
She had come so far, recovered so much. But even as a child, she had not been the most daring of his siblings, and he could not see her as an adventurer.
She's busy.
He did not want to tell Penny that Kai was dead, not now. He needed time to grieve by himself. Time he wasn't going to have, he could see.
So am I. We may never meet again if...
If she gets killed? True. So you ought to tell her.
Penny!
Rafe, I am not just saying this as your little sister, but as a woman. A woman who has been married. It's stupid to waste more time. You love her, don't you?
I don't know.
Oh, please. You do. And it's obvious enough that all the anti-Vada people guessed it. Are still gossiping about it, worrying. You might just as well admit it, jump into the fire, and come out with the horseshoe.
You think I can talk my way past the fire demons?
I think you have to do something. You have to tell her. You have to tell the others to go jump in the ice pit or something.
I can't just... She's not like the others.
And she was dead. Whatever wise advice Penny came up with, it was too late now.
Of course not. So do it properly. Not like the others.
You don't know how I...
I heard, Rafe. I'm not that much younger than you. Your conquests had siblings, some of them my age.
Rafe was glad for the darkness in the car. He could feel himself blushing. It was one thing for his conquests to know, or his contemporaries, but not his little sister.
And don't waste time being embarrassed. I'm a grown woman. It's not like I haven't heard plenty about other people's sex lives. You weren't any worse than some others I heard about.
I just never thought about you finding out.
My point is, it's clear to me, experienced widow that I am, that you really care for this woman. Yes, she might die in the war. Yes, you might be assassinated by an infuriated board member or one of Parmina's co-conspirators. So, use what time you have. I'm also the expert on how little time you might have with someone you love.
I can't just call her up and tell her. She's really busy right now.
When is she going to be less busy? When are you?
I'll think about it.
Rafe made sure Penny was safe in her apartment, then went on to ISC headquarters. Work kept his mind off Kai for as much as an hour at a time. He sent Emil home after midnight, but stayed on, gathering the material he would need to present to the Secretary of Defense in the morning. Alois Melendi smacked the arm of his chair, as if that would accomplish anything.
I can't believe you let us get into this state! You're going to tell me you weren't here, that it's not you personally, but Nexus has depended on ISC. It's part of the bargain.
The bargain no one wanted to talk about openly. The bargain where no sums were ever mentioned, no concessions ever openly discussed. ISC got what it wanted, and in return, money that supposedly went for Nexus defense could be spent elsewhere. Rafe had heard this and similar diatribes all morning, and he supposed he would hear another from the last few men at the pinnacle of government.
You're wasting time. It's not news to either of us, the shape the ISC fleet is in. I told you about it myself weeks ago. What you need to do now is prepare the defenses you do have...
That we don't have because of your company's irresponsible behavior. Your father's dereliction. And here you are, beneficiary of his power, when you've done not one thing...
Scolding me isn't going to change anything. What you need to do is...
Scolding you won't, but getting you out of that plush office might. You cold-hearted bastard. I heard all about you.
Rafe sat back, folded his hands.
Really? And from whom, I wonder? Lou Parmina?
At least while Lou was over there, we had someone who listened to us. This mess didn't happen on his watch.
Actually, it did. Actually, it happened because of him. So what did he tell you?
It was in the news reports years ago. Playboy, sex-crazed cradle robber.
That would have been Ilsa. Rafe did regret Ilsa, but really, she had climbed into his lap that night, pressed herself on him, and he'd been only 18.
All you care about, all you've ever cared about, is protecting your sugar tit.
Melendi's eyes widened. Rafe realized that he'd let his hand slide down, approaching the part of a gentleman's suit that, if the gentleman carried, would hold what it did in fact hold.
Let's calm down. Let's look at the timetable if you want facts and not the insinuations of a known traitor. Funds were misused, yes. They were misused for years, at least 6 years, while I was not on Nexus or anywhere near it, and while Lou Parmina was your friendly voice at ISC. You trusted him, and this is what came of it. Some of the documentation disappeared, but some we've managed to reconstruct. Lou Parmina, using my father's name, authorized expenditures of two types, funding those now our enemies, and funding those whose votes he wanted to control. Not just within ISC, but also in Nexus governmental circles.
You can't make wild accusations without...
And you can? Come on, Melendi. If you're wondering if your name was on the list, you must have been a very minor beneficiary of Lou's generosity. It's not on the lists we've found so far.
Rafe watched Melendi's face run through a sequence of expressions, ending in sullen resignation.
So, whatever you think of me, Whatever you think of ISC, we're going to have to work together if Nexus is to survive.
Someone else should head ISC.
In the long run, yes. But for now, you have me. I'm not quitting, and you can't force me out. I have too much on your government and the means to make it public if you force my hand.
That's blackmail!
No, that's the result of stupidity and greed on all sides. ISC is culpable, but so is the government of Nexus. And we have more important things to worry about than who's most to blame for this mess. Now quit acting like a primary teacher with a naughty boy and get me the SecDef.
He'll have some serious questions for you.
I have questions for him, too.
Like why he had not yet met with Rafe, instead of passing him from one flunky to another. Rafe wondered if he suspected the data that Rafe held, or if he was looking for leverage. Humphrey Isaacs did not rise when Melendi finally ushered Rafe into his office. He overflowed his chair, pudgy hands clasped on the edge of his desk, and glared at Rafe.
We are not pleased with ISC's performance.
One of the secretaries from the outer office darted in with a folder of data cubes for Isaacs' desk, then withdrew. Rafe pulled one of the heavy, leather-seated chairs to one side of the desk and sat down before Isaacs could stop him.
I wouldn't expect it. Let's get past all the recriminations, shall we? ISC, in the control of Lou Parmina, did not maintain its fleet to the standard it should have. This impacts not only ISC's ability to defend its monopoly, but Nexus Defense's ability to defend the system, because you depended on us. All that's a given.
It's a disgrace! You promised!
Correction. I did not promise anything. I wasn't here, remember? ISC. A long time ago, before my father was even born, before you were born, did a deal with the Nexus government to provide protection in return for certain government accommodations. Like any protection racket.
Rafe noted with pleasure that Isaacs did not like that wording.
As with any protection racket, it weakened the protected. I will stipulate that ISC has had far too much power in Nexus for far too long. But that is not the immediate issue.
I could have expected you would attempt to evade responsibility.
Do you confuse the entity with the individual? Or do you want me to consider you fully responsible for everything the Nexus government has done over the centuries as it crawled into bed with ISC?
That's preposterous!
Is it? I think not. I think history offers many examples of relationships between business interests and governments that range from benign marriages to outright prostitution. Nexus was founded as a company planet. You know that. You took Jesperson's history course at Central, and he always laid emphasis on it. That's why they fired him.
Damned radical, trying to stir up trouble.
Isaacs picked up a letter opener, turned it around and put it down, then picked up a pen and twirled it in his fingers.
Not really. Trying to point out the stress points in our system where trouble might erupt, as it has here. Nexus was founded as a company colony. The government has always considered the interests of ISC above the interests of other citizens, and always tended to believe whatever the leaders at ISC said. When these leaders were honest, and many of them were, Nexus prospered and was no worse off than it would have been with a different system, financially better off. But the goals of a corporation are always both broader and narrower than the goals of a government. Broader here and narrower there.
Isaac's gelid gray eyes narrowed.
You never went to business school.
Oh, but I did. I went to a very hard, very unforgiving business school.
Where?
He put the pen down, then picked it up again. Rafe looked him over as he might have looked over a side of beef.
How long would you survive if you were exiled? And how?
Isaacs looked angry, but said nothing.
I had, of course, grown up among businessmen and women. But when I was thrown out, I had to care for myself.
You had a remittance.
I had a pittance. And I didn't use much of it. Because I became a businessman, several times over, in different systems, with different laws and different economic possibilities. I learned more there than any business school can teach about what interstellar commerce is really all about, what it depends on, what sustains it, what damages it. I had a perspective that you, who has never traveled beyond the Moscow Confederation, who have never started your own business, lack. If you want to assess my understanding of business in general, and corporate structure in particular, bring in someone who knows something about it. I could not have found what was wrong in ISC as fast as I did if I'd been as ignorant as you seem to think.
Isaac seemed to shrink a little.
It's still wrong.
Many things are wrong, but we cannot deal with all of them now. What we need, you and I, is a clear grasp of reality as it is right now, today. What the threat is, what our resources are for meeting that threat. The past is, for the moment, irrelevant.
The past that included Kai Vada alive and his feelings for her, his father undamaged, his belief that ISC was as powerful as it had always been.
So what do you think reality is?
This time, Isaacs opened the cube folder and began to roll several of the cubes in his hand.
We, meaning the Nexus system and the people who live in it, are in imminent danger of attack by the same force that has attacked and overrun other systems, growing stronger with every resource captured. And, unless you have a nice modern fleet hidden away in a box somewhere, we're as defenseless as a baby in a snowstorm.
And I suppose you have a solution?
No. I can help define the problem, but I do not have a solution.
Well, I do.
Isaacs tapped one of the cubes on the desk for emphasis.
You, ISC, are going to hire a fleet to protect us, and it's not going to cost us a penny. You got us into this mess. You will get us out.
Isaacs looked up abruptly. Rafe was paring his thumbnail with a knife.
Where? How?
Calm down. If I wanted to cut you, you'd be bleeding. I had a hangnail. Now let's be serious. We can't hire mercs for you. You're the government. You have to do that or it's illegal.
You have to pay.
We don't have the money.
Isaac stared at him, jaw hanging.
For over a standard year, our income has been well below norm, thanks to Ansible's being out of service. No calls, no income. Second, when I got into this job, I found out that a lot of our reserves had vanished. Some of that's been traced to plain ordinary embezzlement, some to fraud, and some directly to the government. Third, as soon as I found out our fleet was in the shape it's in, I started spending what was left to upgrade and supply it.
So it's not that bad.
Oh no, it is that bad. Do you have any idea how much it costs to run a fleet the size we had? You should, in your business, but then you always depended on us. Cheaper to privatize. Let ISC do it. Put it this way. If I sold everything my family owns, the houses, their contents, the clothes off my back and my sister's and parents' backs, my mother's piano and harp, it would not supply one single warship for one single engagement. Our ships can't even use modern munitions, most of them. It's fortunate that rocks in space are lethal weapons because we're in the Stone Age when it comes to ships.
How did it... Who let this happen?
Isaacs himself let it happen, among others. No use to say that.
That doesn't matter. As near as I can tell, it started some 30 years ago with budget cuts for the fleet because there wasn't any need. To that, you can add chicanery, not only in ISC, but in your department where inspectors were supposed to ensure that our fleet was maintained to standards you thought appropriate. They didn't.
We depended on you.
Yes, for a consideration.
You can't tell me.
I can tell you that I have a list of individuals in this department and others who took substantial bribes in return for not doing their jobs. And as I told your assistant, if you're wondering whether your name is on the list, you know you're guilty.
I don't recall.
Isaacs dropped the cubes he had been handling and picked up another.
Fine. But be aware that the list exists in more than one secure storage location, and that I have no more concern for the welfare of this government than you have for mine. As for hiring assistants, you will be lucky, at this date, to find anyone. I put you in touch with Mackenzie months ago. You chose to delay, and now they're working for the Moscow Confederation.
We have an agreement that I can still have some.
Good. But understand this, we can't pay for them. I have already cut executive salaries, including my own, of course, and all but essential expenses. We must keep the working Ansibles going, and we must repair the ones that others can't. That's critical to military action. We don't have any spare money.
You can borrow it.
And so can the Nexus government, at lower interest. Now I'll need authorization to talk to your senior commanders, whoever you're going to put in charge.
What senior commanders? We don't have anyone capable of running a real defense. You know that. We're just the local police force.
Rafe looked around the luxurious office, bigger than his own as CEO.
So, what do you want to do now? You fraud? Quit? You must have someone you think has some ability, unless you've done nothing for 6 years but sit here until you've filled your chair side to side. Call him in. Tell him to take over. Not Melendi, of course. He's an idiot.
I can't believe it's that bad. Your father, Lou Parmina, they never said...
My father never knew. Lou Parmina knew, of course, but he was hiding it. Look, we need to get the Premier in here. Contact McKenzie right away. Get the commanders.
Isaacs looked outside at the blue sky streaked with wisps of cloud.
There's no time. They're on the way. They'll be here any hour. They could be entering the system now.
Rafe suppressed a strong desire to grab Isaacs by his jowls and shake him.
They could not. The early warning system's fine. If something jumped in, we'd be told.
We?
I'm linked to ISC's emergency report center, aren't you?
No. Why should I be? That's for a specialist.
Well then, there's no enemy spacecraft in our system at this time.
You're sure? How can you be sure?
The Rubigillium hypercontractivity generator. Put into service only 4 days ago.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
The man was worse than Melendi. The man was insane. Rafe wondered if he could possibly be dragged back to what must be done. If the rest of the Defense Department was this brain dead, his own staff and commanders might need to take over.
The Premier and McKenzie.
Isaacs looked grayer.
Must inform the Premier at once. Shocking. Impossible. Must... Something. Something's wrong.
Rafe threw open the office door.
Secretary Isaacs is ill. He may be having a heart attack.
Melendi and several others rushed into the room, while Rafe moved aside. Odd. Very odd. Humphrey Isaacs hadn't been that muddled when Rafe first called to tell him about the problem with ISC's fleet. Something had happened to him in the interim. Something had happened, maybe before the conference on Cascadia Station. Maybe after. Rafe couldn't believe no one in the government had noticed. He stepped into the outer office as a squad of medics arrived and picked up the headset one of the secretaries had abandoned. The desktop had a direct link to the Premier's office, as he'd expected. The Premier's secretary was sorry, but the Premier was fully engaged. Rafe explained that Secretary Isaacs was suddenly unwell, some kind of emergency, and that he had information of urgent import.
Sir Dunbarger, what's going on?
Secretary Isaacs had some kind of medical emergency while we were in a meeting. I called assistance, and they're with him now. He was on the point of contacting you himself.
Why would he do that? We have a regularly scheduled meeting tomorrow morning.
You're aware of the situation on Moray?
An invasion beaten back by that force from Moscow Confederation and Slaughter Key. Yes, what of it?
When the secretary reported that, did he tell you that Moray is reasonably sure the attacking force is now headed this way?
What? No! Where are they?
I don't know, sir. I do know that Moray is a minimum 20-day transit in FTL, plus time in-system.
Thank heavens we have your fleet to protect us. Will you need any assistance from in-system patrol?
Rafe felt a ball of ice falling through his body.
Excuse me?
I mean, you do have enough of your fleet here, don't you? Or you can retrieve them from someplace. Humphrey, the secretary, would have arranged that.
I'm afraid not. I told him back when our fleet was defeated at Boxtop.
Defeated? What? Where?
Mr. Premier, I believe I should brief you immediately, but not over this unit. We have a situation.
How soon can you be here?
20 minutes. Just a moment.
Rafe stepped to the door of the inner office. Isaacs was stretched on the floor, medics working on him. Rafe proffered the headset to the nearest person, someone he vaguely recalled sitting at a desk outside.
Excuse me, the Premier's on the comm. What should I tell him?
Melendi turned abruptly and strode toward Rafe.
Give me that. I'll deal with him.
I'm on my way.
Rafe handed the headset to Melendi.
You're not going anywhere. It's all your fault.
No, it's not, and I'm going to the Premier's office as soon as possible.
Why? So you can kill him too?
I did not kill the secretary. I wasn't even...
You probably poisoned him or something. He was perfectly healthy before you showed up, and you threatened me.
Don't be ridiculous. I had no reason to kill either of you, even if it weren't illegal. Secretary Isaacs had a heart attack or a stroke or something. I had nothing to do with it.
You are a dangerous rogue. You always have been. You always will be.
Rafe just stopped himself from saying that Melendi was an idiot and always had been and always would be. So far, no security personnel were in the room to hear Melendi's accusations, but they were probably on their way.
I'm going to meet with the Premier. Thank you for all your help.
Melendi's jaw dropped. In that moment of confusion, Rafe slipped out of the office and, instead of going to the elevator his own security was already holding for him, he signaled that he would take the utility stairs. He removed the official visitor's pass he wore as he walked down the hall, peeling off the tell tag on its back and, hardly breaking stride, opened the door to a men's toilet and slapped it onto the inside wall above the light switch. From his inner jacket pocket, he took the small packet containing an apparent twin to the tell tag, slipped it out, and pressed it onto his pass. Pre-programmed for just such occasions, the tag now deactivated door alarms and informed area controls that he was authorized anywhere in the building and also for unplanned entrances and exits. Nobody stopped him on the way down to the ground floor. The stairs there opened into a side passage invisible from the main entrance, and one of his own team was there to meet him.
Elevator stopped on 4. Security let Curran go when you weren't in it. He'll meet us outside.
Idiots. Did you re-tag?
Not yet.
Do it now.
Even Gary, always suspicious, had thought providing the entire security detail with fake tell tags was unnecessary. Rafe had agreed, but insisted on having them anyway. With his escort re-tagged, Rafe led the way toward one of the utility entrances. Guests were not normally allowed in this area, but the few employees who saw them were obviously more interested in the break room they passed than in strangers in the corridor. No live guard at the entrance, even. There was a full suite of electronic surveillance, but the loop for storage was brief, and the equipment was old, not working properly even before Rafe contributed a little more damage. They had come out into a small, paved space. Rafe's other escort stepped out from behind a trash bin. He led them along a paved lane just wide enough for a trash truck, between windowless walls, to a larger parking area. A sidewalk led off to the left, around the corner of the building, and probably, Rafe thought, to the front. But his escort nodded instead to the car park itself. Just beyond, his car waited.
The parking attendant hadn't heard?
Small alterations. This car park has a separate exit.
Moments later, he was in the car, reporting to Gary what had happened.
Melendi's going to claim I killed the secretary.
I'll alert your legal team from here. You'd better get back here. They'll expect that, but...
They think I'm headed for the Premier's office. I'm supposed to meet him.
Don't. They'll be ready for you.
I know that, but I still need to talk to him. Isaacs hadn't told him about Boxtop. The Premier still thought ISC's fleet would be able to protect this system.
Isaacs was in on it.
Must have been. I knew he was taking bribes, but I thought he was greedy, not a traitor. Just when I think it can't get worse, it does. Damn it, I can't save the world all by myself. Somebody else has got to be honest and competent.
Come on, boyo. You know this is more fun than sitting in your fancy office looking at spreadsheets.
It was fun when it didn't mean a billion people could die if I screwed up.
I still can't get used to you being all sober and responsible. I've seen you at it for 3 seasons now, and I keep expecting you to break loose and do something crazy.
I'm reverting to my boring corporate roots.
From what I see of these guys, they're as crooked as you ever were. That's not boring.
No, right now it's terrifying. Our fleet's worth zilch, except for that one special unit. Nexus defense is nothing that can stop Turek, and I have no doubt he's coming. We're the helpless virgin as the barbarian comes in the gates.
Don't go literary on me. What about Admiral Vada? You could ask her.
I could, if she weren't dead.
What?
Last night. Heard it last night. Fleet action at Moray System. 20-day FTL jump from us. She drove off the enemy attacking their naval yard, but in the process, her ship blew up.
Rafe, I'm sorry.
I knew it was likely. I told myself, just think that she's died. Don't think about her. We're not supposed to be... aren't anything to each other.
Are you sure she's dead?
As sure as the Moray officer who told me. Her ship blew up. She was in it. Of course, our brilliant government refused to ally with Moscow and Slaughter Key, so even if she were alive, she might not come.
You think the Alliance wants Nexus to fall?
No, but I think they won't come without being asked by the government. And if the government is convinced I killed, or attempted to kill, the Secretary of Defense, then they are less likely to yell for help.
ISC's headquarters loomed ahead. Farther ahead, something with flashing lights sped toward them. Too close. Rafe leaned toward the driver.
Use the tunnel.
The car turned aside, drove a short distance between nondescript buildings, and went down a ramp to an underground loading dock, then made a sharp turn into what was actually an underground parking garage. At the bottom level of that, a blank wall slid aside, revealing a narrow tunnel. The car eased in. The wall slid closed behind them. The tunnel ran down, curving slightly to the right, then emerged into a cavernous, dark space. The headlights picked out something shiny in the distance.
At one time, I would have thought this high adventure. Now it's a nuisance.
Shiny was a grate, which slid up at their approach, letting them into a car-sized lift. To one side was a smaller lift for personnel and a hardwire comport. Rafe stepped out of the car and plugged into the comport.
Here. Front gate's crawling with cops. No sign any of them spotted your car. You did button up the tunnel.
Yes, Gary. Both ends. Can't do anything about the thermal into the garage, though. I'm in sub-level C. Best route?
I'll send a truck in to start foxing the thermal. Your best route, leave the car down. Take the lift up to sub-A, turn right, take the second corridor to the left, second staircase, right again, there's a lift to the 8th floor. Go into archives, and at the back left there's another lift. I'll meet you there.
Rafe followed this complicated path without incident, except for dodging someone in a technical services tunic pushing a wheeled cart with a big gray metal box on it down the corridor. The man quickly pulled the cart to one side, and Rafe strode past, nodding thanks. The door dragon at Archives, where he'd been before, simply smiled.
Good day, Sir Dunbarger. Can I help you find anything?
No thanks, Sarah Vosen. I'm just taking the shortcut today.
It's all right for you, Sir Dunbarger. But I will not have those infants from Survey coming in here, pretending to look for charts, and then sneaking down the back lift to lunch an hour early.
And quite right. I trust you make them look at charts until noon.
I certainly do. Or send them right back to their section.
The lift was waiting when he reached it, with Gary inside.
You kicked a very large anthill, Boyo. The secretary is indeed dead, and they're saying it looks like poison. They want your hide stretched on a hoop.
I didn't poison him. Is Emil all right? And Penny, where's Penny?
Both here, both doing their jobs. You know, your sister's really come a long way. Quite a young woman.
Rafe looked sharply at Gary, but the man seemed sincere.
Emil did say to tell you the Premier's office called. He wants to talk to you at your earliest convenience.
I'll bet he does.
Gary exited first, then waved Rafe out.
That other one, Melendi, says you pulled a weapon on him and threatened him. And he's saying he should never have let you in to see the secretary.
I should have just killed that little bastard last night when he interrupted Penny's birthday dinner and called it an affair of honor. What I threatened him with was exposure of his incompetent little financial fiddles.
Rafe came in sight of his offices. Emil was out beside the receptionist's desk. He waved at both of them.
Sarah, what?
I know. One of those interesting days I wished for when I was a bored little boy. I would love to give you the rest of the day off, but I'm afraid that would result in your spending some hours being grilled by officials. Instead, could I offer you the comfort of one of the guest suites?
The children...
Right. They're 9 and 13, aren't they? In school, then an after-school program? Here's what we'll do if you agree. We'll avoid all the media and official attention and move them and you somewhere out of reach. It's near the end of term.
Well, yes, that would be nice.
We'll need your authorization to have one of our people pick them up from school. We should do that before anyone makes the connection and tries to intercept them when school's over.
I'll make the travel arrangements. Quiet house, suitable for children that age, a couple of security, just in case.
Emil, come fill me in.
Rafe led the way into his inner office. The light blinking on his desk was the direct connection from the palace to ISC. But he could not answer that until he knew how close to the cliff edge he stood. Kai Vada's message to her Aunt Grace was as terse as Grace's had been, and even more cryptic.
Fruitcake contains 1K no filler. Only one fruitcake, positively no S in fruitcake. S does not belong in fruitcake. Tick harvest, less than projected by 15%. Propagation of seedlings strongly discouraged.
From the generations back family code stored in her father's implant, surely Grace would know that one. Translated, do not propagate this message. Kylara struggled with how to tell Grace that Pitt was suspect, that maybe MacRobert was suspect.
Tick pits may be infested with fungal disease from the source. Isolate any storage bins used by suspected lots. Source may be unreliable.
MacRobert had sent her the letter of marque and set up the delivery of those mines disguised as cleaning materials. If he had been the traitor who opened Slaughter Key to the enemy, Kai found hard to believe he would have done that, that he would be Grace's whatever he was to her. She could not believe it, any more than she wanted to believe Pitt was a traitor. What she wanted to ask Grace was where Grace had heard of the battle and her supposed death. What she wanted to tell Grace was that Turek probably still had an agent or two on Slaughter Key. But Grace would not thank her for that information. Grace would give her that Aunt Grace look and would understand being kept out of the loop.
Pitt told the truth. She requested the use of the Ansible right after you came aboard. My comtech assumed that it was a message you had asked her to send, so he let her have the board. It was another hour before you ordered the shutdown. You asked me if anyone had communicated out system, and I asked my comtech, but she didn't tell me about Pitt because she thought you already knew. Stupid mistake on my part, I'm sorry.
Not your fault. I'm relieved that Pitt wasn't lying about that. It would cast doubt on Mackenzie's agenda.
Now she needed to figure out what to do about Pitt. The transmission might have been innocent in intent. The log showed that the only transmission had been to Slaughter Key. But Kai wondered why Grace hadn't told her that MacRobert and Pitt were communicating, if she knew. Argelos reported that Stella had accepted his and Ransom's financial data without asking for a direct contact with Kai.
She said she supposed you were busy and she was sorry to bother you, but the auditors were coming.
Auditors.
Of course, the survival of Vada Transport was important. But Stella needed to understand that Kai had more important things on her mind. Grace Vada looked at the printout she'd been given. Straight data, no voice, no visual. It had come from a shipboard Ansible, one of two mounted on Kai's ship. But that didn't necessarily mean it had come from Kai. The enemy could have figured out how to intercept such messages and then use the originating code on a different unit. And fruitcake. Too many people knew about the fruitcakes now. As long as she'd been seen as the dotty old lady who handed out inedible fruitcakes, fruitcakes as code were safe. But now some people, some of Kai's crew for instance, knew that the fruitcakes might have more than fruit and nuts in them.
Fruit cake contains 1K. That might be Kai, or something else. No S, not Stella. But if the message is from Kai, why would she say Stella isn't with her? Of course Stella isn't with her. Kai knows that I know Stella is on Cascadia. And the last part, the old outdated Vata code for deep secret do not share.
MacRobert appeared with her afternoon tea.
What's that?
Either confirmation from Kai that she's alive, or a clever fake. It's almost... I can imagine her doing something like this, but... does she think communication through her onboard Ansible is compromised? And what else is she trying to tell me?
MacRobert looked at the printout.
Oh. Don't tell Stella. Oh, that's definitely from Kai. And... oh my.
What? You understand this nonsense about tick seeds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least I think I do. Kai's found out that I've been in contact with the Mackenzie liaison, Master Sergeant Pitt. She's trying to warn you. She's wondering if I'm reliable.
You? Of course you're reliable. What was she thinking?
The girl's learning. What would you think if I hadn't told you about Pitt?
All right, I see what you mean. But she knows you.
She knew me years ago, when she was younger and naive. She's been through a lot. She's not the same Kai.
I know that. That's why I wanted to talk to her on Cascadia.
MacRobert rubbed her shoulders.
You're still miffed about that, aren't you? You know, if you'd been Kai, you wouldn't have waited either. She had to go. She heard trouble coming.
But...
she's a good... well, I can't call her a kid anymore. She's a good commander, I'd have to say now. Remarkable, in fact.
You're glowing.
I'm not. Well, maybe I am. Look at it this way. I'm the closest thing she has now to a father.
If my arm weren't the size of a child's, I'd hit you with it.
All right, I won't push it. But I am proud of her. It was obvious from the first term that she'd be right at the top, and she was, and not just academically. She had the right kind of mind. We get brilliant cadets who don't, and we try to shunt them into positions where their brilliance can be used without destroying them or their mates. I had high hopes for her as a commander, and she's fulfilled those hopes. Though, not in our Space Force.
You kicked her out of your Space Force.
Not me. I had nothing to do with that decision, and you know it. And anyway, it's your Space Force now. You know the political pressures on it.
Fewer, but yes.
And if she hadn't resigned, if she'd been the most junior officer in a cruiser in our home fleet, which is where the good ones are assigned, she wouldn't have been available to do what she's done, which may very well be to save us all.
It doesn't hurt that she doesn't fully trust you now?
Hurt? No. It would bother me if you didn't.
Very well, then. I will inform the President that she is alive and ready to take command of Slaughter Key forces when they arrive.
We still have to figure out where the rumor came from.
Tonight?
Oh, no. I suppose that can wait till morning.
Good. Because my therapists are annoyed with me about the arm. Horizontal exercises, they prescribe. They insist I must do them.
Horizontal exercises? I think we can manage that.
Kai called Pitt into her office. As always, Pitt looked perfectly professional as she came to attention in front of Kai's desk.
Ma'am.
The log bears out your story, Master Sergeant. Contact with Slaughter Key behind my back for years, it must be.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that. If the Admiral will permit...
Kai was well aware that Pitt was using formality to maneuver her.
Go ahead.
Until Major Douglas died, the Admiral will understand that there was no conflict of interest. I was, as I am, a member of Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation, and my loyalty belonged to that organization.
Pitt paused, head slightly tilted, and Kai nodded her understanding.
So, it would have been inappropriate for me to discuss with you any of my contacts, anywhere.
Kai thought that over. She had never been drawn to the shady side of military work. Intel was something she wanted, but did not want to obtain herself.
I see.
If the Admiral thought the contact was inappropriate, it was a matter between the Slaughter Key government and my high command.
But I didn't know.
No, ma'am, I understand that, but... Ma'am, it's been a very odd situation between you and me from the start. Like I've said before, we're not in the same chain of command, we're not enemies, we're allies of a sort, but... Normally, you would interact only with officers of your own and related ranks. Yet, you could, in age, be one of my children.
Kai just managed not to blurt out, "You have children," in a tone that would have been insulting.
But you aren't. And you outrank me anyway. I do not know exactly what Major Douglas's orders were as Mac's liaison. Of course, I never saw them, and my orders were to assist him as required. But from what he did say, I gathered that he was to assist you without giving up any of Mac's secrets. Though we were not then officially in alliance with you, and I don't yet know the terms of our alliance because they were in the files that were destroyed with Vanguard, I considered it my duty to be of assistance as well, especially after he died. I did overstep my authority, ma'am. Both by contacting Master Sergeant McRobert and by urging you into treatment, but I did so thinking it was in the best interests of my command.
What you aren't saying, but I'm hearing, is that I can't really expect you to be loyal to me, and neither is or was McRobert.
It's not exactly that, ma'am. As I understand my duties, my loyalty to Mackenzie, which is, of course, primary, requires that I assist you and your endeavors here in any way I can. That is what I've tried to do.
As a matter of fact, not that it should make any difference. I happen to like and respect you personally. But if you were a sothead idiot, I would still have the same duty to assist you. And though I like and respect you personally, I cannot allow that to affect my duty.
And your understanding of MacRobert?
He has his duty to Slaughter Key, as I have mine to Mackenzie. He'll do what he thinks is best for Slaughter Key, despite what he feels for you, though, like me, he respects your ability and character.
Do you know if he has told Grace Vada about his contact with you?
Oh, yes. He told me that he told her, and that she had been amused. She's quite a woman, he says.
She is indeed. And she also doesn't give much away. But my question now is, how much can I trust you?
I will not divulge anything I think might be harmful to Mackenzie, now or in the future, without specific authorization from my own command structure. When we can, I would like you to contact Mackenzie in my presence, and I need clarification of my orders. However, I know from Major Douglas and the Articles of Alliance you showed me that my orders will at the least be to assist you, and that means being straight with you. If you ask my advice, it will be the best I can give, though I'm only a Master Sergeant.
You are not only a Master Sergeant, and if you're not going to lie to me, let's start there. I suppose my lesson learned is that all intelligence personnel are tricky at best, including MacRobert and my very unsainted Aunt Grace. You have my permission to continue your contact with MacRobert, since I suspect you'd find a way to do it anyway. But please keep in mind the advantages to secrecy.
Yes, ma'am.
You're no longer confined to quarters. You've already been all over the ship, so there's no reason to cause us both inconvenience that way. I'll want you at the staff conference at 1330 hours. If we can arrange a secure link to Mackenzie before that, I'll contact you so that you can speak to your command.